Is there an extra one for me? Okay. We have two areas of old business before we move over to new business. Last time we discussed the various sources for a possible iser of mazik, and we ran the gamut from the haftarecha kamocha to lo yishmerenu, to the world of gezel, and in shir, one of the chaverim in the shir pointed out that he had seen Baal Tashlis as having been raised as an option for the source of the Iser of Mazik. And in the Shir, the individual who raised it thought it was in the Prisha on the tour. So I checked the Prisha on the tour, it's not there. But he was correct, it is on the Mefarshim of the tour, it's in the Bach. I just wanted to read the section with you, just to understand where, you know, like where what we said is relevant to the Bach, but on the other hand, it's not what the Bach, the direction the Bach is taking. The Bach, in other words, the first Mar Makom over here, the Bach and Choshen Mishpat, the Shinayin Chesed in the beginning, he quotes the tour, Kishem She'osur Lignov V'Ligzol Kach Osur V'Hasik, that was the language of the tour. So he points out, Kolomar, Lo Tei Madaleka Yisura Ela Lignov V'Ligzol Kidachsiv V'Kroi, Aval Hasik Mamon Shalom Ein bo isur im mishalim lo ahezek. Ella, what the Torah is pointing out, isura namayika. In other words, that there's an isur of, this is the sheet of the Torah, just as we have isurim daraisa of gezel and gneva, we have an isur daraisa of masik. Ella, says the Bach, kashali, halo afilu mamon atzmo ika isura, kedidnan besof perakachovel. Even to destroy one's own property, one has an iser, as we find in Achovel, Akotzeitz Nitzi Niti Yosav. If a person goes into his own field and vandalizes his own field, he cuts down his own grapevines. Afal Pisha Eno Rashai, it's also, that's Baal Tashlis, but Patur, he doesn't pay anyone. Who are you going to pay? HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Aval Acherim, other people who were to vandalize his field, Chayavim. Upiresh Rashi Eino Rashai Da'over B'Baal Tashlis. So it appears as though the Torah is saying that why you know it's what's the chiddush of the Torah? And the Bach is saying what's the chiddush of the Torah that there is this anonymous iser in the world of mazik? We know exactly what the iser is in the world of mazik. The iser is Baal Tashlis. That if you're not allowed to be mashlis your own property, kavachom, you're not allowed to be mashlis someone else's property. So here, just in terms of our trying to hone in on an iser of mazik, the same issue, the same issue that we had with the concept of pen Yosef lehakoso, you know, that if you're not allowed to hit yourself, you're certainly not allowed to hit someone else, but that doesn't mean that we have an iser of chovel. You can hit a person without causing him damage, and you can damage a person without hitting him. You can be mashlis. You can destroy something without being mazik, and you can be mazik without destroying. Namely, that sometimes the two do coincide. But if, let's say, you send your animal into someone else's field and eats the grass, that's not Baal Tashlis. Eating grass is not Baal Tashlis. In other words, if an animal eats fruits in a fruit stand, that's not Baal Tashlis. It's mazik. It's not Baal Tashlis. You're causing someone else a loss, but you're not vandalizing. On the other hand, again, you can vandalize without causing anyone else a loss. You can vandalize your own property. You're not causing anyone else a loss. So it's true what the Bach says that often we're going to have a coincidence where when one is mazik, one is also over Baal Tashlis. But it's just a coincidence. They're two different worlds. Sometimes they coincide, but sometimes they don't coincide. You could have Baal Tashlis without Hezek, and you could have Hezek without Baal Tashlis. Okay? So it's correct that the Bach brought in Baal Tashlis in the context of Yisra Mazik, but it's an ancillary lav. It's not the lav itself. That's point number one. Point number two was pointed out to me by Elie Mouchel, that Rav Asher Weiss has a sefer on Baba Kama, and after we built this beautiful building of the Rambam, that looking at the overview of the Rambam to Sefer HaNezikin, that we have two, Sefer HaNezikin has five chapters. Three of those chapters deal with Lavim, and two of them deal with Dinim. Right? Geneva, Gzela, Rotzeach, we have Lavim, we have Isurim. Masha'en Kain, in the world of Mazik, Nizkei Mamon, and Chovel Mazik, we have Dinim. So he said the Rambam disagrees with the Tur. The Tur holds that there's an Isur of Mazik. The Rambam, maximum, you have a Din of Isur Drabanim of Mazik under certain circumstances. But there's no Isur of Mazik at all. Isur, that Mazik is a world of Dinim. It's a world of Tashlumen. But he pointed out that in Hilchos Tshuva, in Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, the Rambam is enumerating those areas that require Tshuva, and those areas that require Vidui, and those areas that require Kapara. And in that enumeration, he says, V'chein balei chatos v'ashamos, b'glal shemivim korbanosem ha-shigigoson, o zedonon, ein v'skaper lehem b'korbanom, ad shiyase Tshuva v'yisvadu Vidui Dvarim, shenemar v'yisvadu asher chata alav. V'chein, kol mechuyevei misos bezdin, kol mechuyevei malkos, ein miskaper lehem b'misoson ha-blikiyoson, ad shiyasu Tshuva. In all of these areas of korbanos, of misas bezdim, of malkos, we're dealing with isurim. Those isurim require a kapara, and there's no kapara without tshuva and vidui. V'chein hachovel b'chavero v'hamazik mamono, afal pi sheshilem lo mashehu chayev lo, eino miskaper ad sheyisvadu v'yoshev milasos kazel la'olam, sheneemar mikol chatos ha'adam. That the Rambam over here appears to be saying that we have, under the rubric of Mikol Chatos HaAdam, which is the framework of the Parsha of Vidui and Parshas Noso, we have also the world of Chovel and the world of Mazik, which would seem to imply, I mean, Barbara implies that there's an Iser. If there's no Iser, what do you require Kapara? You don't, you know, as we saw in Reb Chaim, in other words, if kofar is kapara, that implies that there is an isur. There's no need for atonement unless you're over an isur. So l'chora, over here, the Rambam appears to say black and white against our beautiful building of the Rambam. Why he brings this in Hilchos Tshuva and ignores it totally in his formulation of a Sefer Nezikin, I have no idea. But even stronger than that, when the Rambam is saying Shene Emar L'chor, he's quoting a Makor. So if you look at the Franco Rambam on the side, it says that the Makor is Bamidbar Rabbah. Now we know that you don't learn out halacha from Medrash Agada, but there is a parallel Medrash Halacha. We have a Sifri Zuta, and the Sifri Zuta I quoted to you Mikol Chatosa Adam Mimashe Beino Lebein Chaveiro. That the call includes not only that you require Vidu Amid Adam Makor. Also, Amedonim Chavero. What are the examples of Zifri Zuta? Al Hagenevos v'Hagazelos v'Alashon Hara. And the Rambam took that and changed it. Mikol Chatos HaAdam, Mimash Beno Leben Chavero, Al HaChovel v'Al HaMazik. So, in other words, he took that which is clearly an Iser, Geneva, Gzela, and Lashon Hara, and he substituted that which is our Chakira. Is there really an Iser in Chovel HaMazik? So, it appears that he's very strong about this. That, unless maybe that was his girsa and the Sifri Zuta, I don't know. But they didn't have in our Sifri Zuta, scientific edition. There is no other girsas there, and there's no other better shalacha on those words. Mikol Chatos HaAdam. So in any case, I just throw up my hands. I tried. To build the building where things were black and white, but as we all know, that many times things are gray. Okay, so it's unclear within the Rambam as to whether he holds that there is an Isur or not. Certain parts of the Rambam and Mashma clearly yes, certain parts of the Rambam and Mashma clearly no. B'seder. Okay, now we can begin the Masechta after such an introduction. So the Masechta begins with the Mishnah Arba Avos Nezikin, Hashor, Habor, Hamave, V'hahever. And Rashi points out that we have over here a list, Keseder Shehinksuvin Baparsha, Sidran Bamishna, Parsha Rishana Nehemra Bashar, Shnia Babur. So we looked at the psukim, and the order of the psukim is quite clear. You start off with Keren Muad, and then you move over, then the Torah moves over to Bor, then the Torah returns to Keren on the level of Tam, and then we have a Parsha of Gneva, and then we move over to the world of Shein, and then Regel, and then Eish, and then if we move over from Shmos into Vayikra, Makei Behema Yishalmena, Makei Adam Yumad, there we have Adam Hamasik. Okay, so that's the order that we find. It's hard sometimes to remember things in one's head. So we have Keren Muad, then we have Bor, and then we have Keren Tam, and then we have, it's a parasha that appears to be out of the order in terms of Neva. Then we have Shein and Regel, and then we have Eish, and then we have Adam. That's the Seder of the Torah. Here in our Mishnah, we have Shor. We have Shor, Bor, Mave, Hever. And we have to understand our Mishnah according to Rav and according to Shmuel. And we'll learn Shmuel according to Rava, who is the Maskana of the Gemara as to how Shmuel understands. According to Rav, Shor is Keren, Shen, and Regel. Right? Bor is Bor. Mave, according to Rav, is Adam. And Hever is Eish. According to Shmuel, Shor is Regel, right? Bor is Bor, Mave is Shen, and Eish is Eish. Correct? So Rashi says it's clear that this is the order of the Torah. Okay, so it's not so clear that this is the order of the Torah. Okay, within Rav, we have an issue with Adam, and within Shmuel, we have an issue of Regel. Right, so who asked these questions on Rashi? Tosfos, right? Tosfos asked these questions on Rashi. Tosfos Yermaskla Shor Ba'amor. Right, Pirish Bekuntrus Keseder Shiniftu Be'parasha Sidra Be'mishnah. Then Tosus was bothered, that if you hold that Shor L'Raglo Lo Havi Keseder HaParsha, and then we have L'Man Damar Mavizeh HaAdam, even that comes after Eish in Parsha Sam, or L'Chor, that's also not Keseder. But Tosus is very, very nice, and he asked the questions with the answers B'tzida. But before we see Tosus's answers, just in terms of the alternatives. What alternative? In other words, Sotosis basically will learn like Rashi. Just has to answer these questions that we have on Rashi, that we're working Keseder. What alternative Perushim do we have to understand the order of the Mishnah?
Rambam, sure says.
What is the Rambam's theory?
Rambam thinks that it's not the Keseder of Sukim, but instead it's the Seder of Matsui. That's the way it sees.
In the Rambam uses the phrase Matsui?
No. Sorry. He says that they're not listed.
No, let's take your approach, but just give it the right name.
The Rashba, right.
The Rashba speaks about the fact, Nire de lo kapitana besiduran, ela de toni le al derech ha matsui, that we go from the most common to the least common, and then, that could work out according to everyone, correct? That's a direction. That's the way the Rashba begins, and then he adds in also another factor aside from Matsui. What else does he add in to explain Shmuel? in the paragraph beginning of Mikol Makom, the third line, of Mistaber Li, Mishum, he was bothered if Shane and Regel were not from the same pasuk, why in the Mishnah should Bor come between them? Well, Mistaber Li Mishum Dagav Urchei Osa Tanashminan Derech Nizikehen Hashor Hainu HaRegel VaHabor Domin Zelaze Beniskan Lefi Shein HaNala Ezekon. Umitsuyim Yoser Min Hashem, namely that Matsui is going to be the background of the Mishnah according to Rav, that here we have this overall Mazik of Shor is more Matsui than Bor, which is more Matsui than Adam, which is more Matsui than Ish. Over here, in terms of Regel and Shein, so he says that the reason that Bor was put in over here is because we have also a Domeh. We have also a common denominator in terms of the Ein Hano'ah Lehezekon, and that will help us with the Hemshech of the Mishnah in terms of the Lo Harei, Kelo Harei, that we take into account these two factors. What's very fascinating is that nothing has changed. Olam Kemenhago Noheg, if you want to write a Sefer on Hilchos Shabbos, you can look at the different Sfarim, you'll find those that take Rashi as their champion and those that take the Rashba as their champion, right? That was that Shimon Eider wrote the Sefer according to the order of Lamed Tes Avos Melachos found in the Mishnah, right? You know, it's Sidur the Pas, etc., etc. And Rav Neuberg wrote Yishmir Shabbos Kilchasa starting with Bishul, it starts with the Matzud, who had in the Orchel Shabbos. Namely, that these are our fine alternatives. I want to apologize. The Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz is not in the Bar Ilan, and so I wasn't able to photostat the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz I sent you to. But we have in the Shita Mekubetzes, which is in the Bar Ilan, that which is found in the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, but with different names. In the Shita Mekubetzes, he quotes a Tosfos Shans, who quotes Rabbeinu Tam, the Hamatsu Yoser Nokat, Kishem Shemfarish, Rabbeinu Haigon, etc., that Rabbeinu Tam agrees with the Rashba, that we're going according to the order of Matsui. And then the Shita, in the next section, Tosfos HaRashi, quotes a Rashi that Rabbeinu Peretz quotes the name of the Rashbam. Okay, so either Rashi or the Rashbam says, Nakat Shor Bereisha Kaseder, that we start off with Shor, which begins the Parsha in the Torah, but afterwards, Vasrei Nakat Bor, the Domel LeTevas Shor. Betevas hever kein tevas mave. Dafilu b'mikra matzinu shemeshana l'shanu l'chtov l'shan nofel al l'shan. In other words, he gives not a logical reason for the Mishnah, but simply a philological, I guess, reason in the Mishnah, that it's easier to remember something if you have a rhyme, and so shor and bor rhyme, and mave and hever rhyme. And that way, when you're learning the Torah Shebaal Peh by heart, you remember the Mishnah in that manner. But if you would have the order in the Torah, then it wouldn't rhyme, and then it wouldn't fit in. Okay, so Echshelo Yeh, we have these options. But the question is, going back to Rashi's option, which Tosfos basically accepts, what do we do with what appears to be exceptions to the rule? So Tosfos has a direction that goes through both questions, that he points out that even though it's true that within the world of Shmuel that Regel lo have kaseder harparsha, that Regel comes in after Bor, doesn't come at the very beginning. Mikol makom, says Tosfos, shem shor ksiv b'parsha kodem, dehainu degicha dekeren, that we have the shem shor, which on a very superficial level we would say, well, the animal is already mentioned. Nachon, it's mentioned in terms of its keren, but the same animal that has a keren also has a regel, so to a certain degree we could view that as a, in other words, as a hint within the parasha. Similarly, in terms of Adam, I Adam is in Sefer Vayikra. Why does it come before Eish? Rabbeinu Tam Piresh, the shame Adam ksiv parsha kodem, that we have the parsha of Geneva. Now, if we're going to the work of last week's shir, that really the whole makar of the Easter of Mazik is Gneva, like Rabbeinu Yonah. So then that's very beautiful. That really Adam HaMazik is found within Gneva. In other words, that Losignov in the, you know, is that the parsha of Losignova in the Torah really is the source of the world of Nezikin. But we don't find, you know, where it's that Rabbeinu Tam went in the direction of Rabbeinu Yonah that we saw in Rabbeinu Yonah, not in Rabbeinu Tam. So the question is, what are these concepts over here of Shem Shor and Shem Adam? It appears to be sort of grasping at straws. In other words, that really the parasha begins, according to Shmuel, with Keren, and he put over here Regel because these both have to do with the animal. That Adam is over here because a Ganav is a person, and Adam Amazik is a person. What kind of answer is that? So I sent you in an oblique manner to the direction that Rav Gustman wanted to build in his Kuntrase Shiurim, that we have over here what Rav Gustman calls a Nekuda Nifla. The phrase Nekuda Nifla is found in the Rambam Perish HaMishnayos in Krisus, where he deals with the world of Basar Bachalav, and he comes up with the Nekuda Nifla. Those who are with Rav Bednarsh will come to it relatively soon. Nekuda Nifla, you know, where it's breaking the Gordian knot. It's finding the core of the issue. And what Rav Gusman does is send us to a series of Tosfos, three different Tosfos, all of whom basically say the same thing, that they're all bothered that in the Gemara we have this concept called Milva Haksuva Betorah. And Milva Haksuva Betorah, the Gemara brings in terms of Korbanos, in terms of Pidyon HaBen, in terms of Nezikin. It doesn't deal with it in terms of Halva, in terms of a loan. Even though we have in the Torah a parsha of a loan, that if you borrow money, you can't pay back, so then the Shliach Bezdin goes to the home of the individual who owes the money and takes out an avot, he takes out a mashkon, and there's the mitzvah of returning the mashkon every day, etc. Why would we speak in the Gemara about milva haksuva b'Torah, that it has a status of kasuv bishtar? Why don't we say that every halva, every loan, even if it's a milva baal peh, should have the status of a milva bishtar because it's a milva haksuva b'Torah? That's what bothered Tosos, and Tosos answers that a milva haksuva b'Torah, as opposed to halva, is what? What's the distinction between a classic halva, the debt which is created by halva, and the debt that we call a milva haksuva b'Torah? What did Tosas say?
Like a chiddush of the Torah is such a debt, as opposed to a normal loan, in which it's kind of obvious that you have to pay back a loan.
No, in other words, that when you borrow money, there's a svara that you have to pay back. You pay back that which you borrow. You don't need the Torah to tell you that. That's not a milva haksuva b'Torah. But you need the Torah to tell you that you owe a Kohen money if you have a Bechor. You need the Torah to tell you that you have to bring a korban if you are over certain types of averos. You need the Torah to tell you that if you say Erki Alai, you owe a certain amount of money, which is very, very clear in terms of its quantity, to Hekdesh. And you need the Torah to tell you that if you damage something, you have to pay back. Why need the Torah to tell you? What would you have thought without the Torah?
It was an accident.
Even if you did it on purpose. That's what it says. We would have thought that which is broken, there are things that are broken that you simply can't fix. In other words, that there's no compensation is not meaningful. If you someone has the Mona Lisa and you pour mustard over it, right? In other words, no matter how much money you give him, it's mu'uvat lo yacholet ka. You can't necessarily replace something with compensation. There are all sorts of other issues that are involved in terms of emotional connections, v'chulei v'chulei. And so we would have thought maybe there's no din of tashlumen. Tashlume mazik, according to Tosfos, is as much a gzeres hakosuv as pidyon haben and as korbanos. Using this yesod, the using this yesod, Rav Gustman wants to explain the terutzim of Tosfos, namely that once we are assuming that paying damages is a gzeres hakosuf as opposed to a svara, so then it could very well be that there are very, very formal requirements for when you pay damages. Namely, it's not enough that we have circumstances that appear that you pay damages, but we have what we'll call a shem mazik. It has to fit into a very, very specific, a very specific mode, a very specific frame of reference in order for the Gzeres HaKosuv to apply. And those are the shem mazik. What are, that's what our Mishnah is telling us. Arba avos nezikin. That there are four shemot mazik. There are four categories where we have a gzeres hakosuv that you pay. Shor, bor, mave, hever. That we have a shem shor, we have a shem bor, we have a shem mave, and we have a shem hever. And therefore, these four categories are these are the four shemot. And once we have these shemot, then what Rashi is telling us, we're going according to the order of the shemot in the Torah. Namely, that when the Torah speaks about Keren Muad, then we have this Shem Shor. And this Shem Shor includes Keren Shein Regel. And so when Shmuel has his Mishnah, Regel is already included in the Shem Shor. Bor is included in the Shem Bor. Esh is included in the Shem Esh. It appears, from if you want to take Rav Gustman all the way, there's also a Shem Shen. Namely, that over here, this would be Regel and Karen. This would be the Shem Shor. Then we have the Shem Bor, the Shem Shen, and the Shem Esh. According to Rav, Karen, Shem, and Regel are all included in the Shem Shor. This is the Shem Shor. Bor is included in the Shem Bor. Adam is the Shem Mazik. And Esh is a shame mazik. Maybe that we're dealing over here with categories. Rav Gustman then has like 40 proofs to his theory. One of them, namely that we need a formal framework as opposed to just circumstances, one of them we saw in the previous shiur. If you recall, in the previous shiur, we dealt with the machlokes between the Ramban and Tosfos as to what is the status of Adam Muad Li'Olam. What does it mean to speak about man damaging? Why is man chayev when he damages? According to the Tosos we saw, man is chayev for negligence, for a degree of negligence. And therefore, if we're going to have an onus gamur, man is going to be potter. And Tosos gave a whole list of examples of onus gamur, and then we saw that he got all embroiled in trying to compare the world of Adam to the world of Shomrim, and the concept of Onus Gamur appears to be a very, very broad concept. And certainly it would apply to someone who is sleeping, or to someone who bumps into someone else who stops short, or to someone who's walking in the darkness, that those are Onus Gamur. Man's not negligent, and if he's not negligent, he's not responsible. Masha Enkein, the Ramban says, that's wrong. The Mishnah says, Adam Muad La'olam. And the Braisa says, Onus Karatzah. And that's all circumstances, even Onus Gamur. And the Ramban's proof text is the fact that if a man is sleeping on a roof and a Ruach She'ena Metsuya blows him off and he damages something, he's Chayav. Ruach She'ena Metsuya, that could even be like the Sara of Eliyahu. In other words, there's no limit to Ruach She'ena Metsuya. We don't put any limits in the Gemara. So man is Chayav not because he was negligent, he's Chayav because he damaged. He's Chayav because he's responsible for the actions of his body, whether he is conscious or not conscious, whether he is being swept by a wind or whether he is running, he is responsible for anything his body does. So one of the questions one of the proofs of Tosfos was that we have a principle in the Gemara, Tavach Uman Shekilkel Patur. That if you take your ox to the Shochet, and this Shochet is a Tavach Uman, he's not only just has a Kabbalah, he's an Uman. He's a super Shochet. He has a name of being the best Shochet in town. And he, in the course of the Shechita, something goes wrong, and the animal turns out to be an Avela. He doesn't have to pay you for the animal. He doesn't have to pay compensation, even though basically he was masik your animal. Why? So Tosfos will say that a Tabach Uman, you go to the best possible heart surgeon, and he makes a mistake, that's onus gamur. I mean, it just doesn't happen. It's something so totally out of the ordinary. So what does Ramban do with Tabach Uman Shekil Kel Potor? Why is that different than being blown off of a roof? You're always chayef. You're chayef for your actions. What did the Ramban say? That this is not Adam. We need a shame Adam Hamazik. Adam Hamazik, in other words, is defined as someone who is an outsider. Here, this is a Tabach Uman. He's an insider. He is someone that you hired to be Matake. Right? He is the heart surgeon. He is the karmakan. In other words, he's not Adam Hamazik. Adam Hamazik is a shame. We need a formality of a shame Adam. And the moment you're an Uman, then you're not equal to an Adam. Namely, again, there's no difference in terms of the act that he did. He did an act of Nezek. But he's not an Adam. In other words, you need the formal category. Just like we need a formal category of Shor, we need a formal category of Shem, we need a formal category of Adam. That's, something from what we already learned. Yeah? Yes?
The way Rabbi's setting up is that Rav and Shmuel are nephilical about what is Nifl and Shem Shor, right? Because for Shmuel, it's only regal. Mm-hmm. So how is it that the Shem, how is it the Shem Shor helps you for regal?
No, according to Shmuel, it's be regal and carry. In other words, that regal and keren come under shor, as opposed to she'ein hanala zegel. Regal and keren come under shor. We have this category of shor, and then we have a category of bor, and then we have a category of shein, and we have a category of ish.
Why regal and keren together? I thought the Gemara says that he doesn't have keren.
Fine. In other words, any time that you're going to have a world of nezek shalem, either in carrot or in regular, we're going to call that short. That's a shame short. And with the commandment, namely that when your living organism, when your living animal is mazik not for hana'a, then that is short hamazik. We'll have to work it out within the sugya. But just, in other words, just one other example from within the sugya, you had a chance to look over the Gemara a little bit. You saw that once we have these four avot nezikin, then we can create composite mazikin. That let's say, for example, you had avno masau sakino arosh hagag, you had something that belonged to you on a rooftop, and a wind blew it off. The moment we have a wind blowing, that turns it, that's like eish, right? And it goes to the ground, and it's stationary, and then someone trips over it. So we have, it's like a combination of Eish, it began as Eish, and then when the Nezik occurs, it turns into Bor. So the Gemara says that when you have that combination, you're going to be Chayav, because it's a composite. We can take the Arba Avos and combine them. But every one of these Arba Avos have different Halachos. Every one of them has different Peturim, right? That Eish is Potter Antomon. And Shane is Pater Bishul Sarabin, and Bor is Pater on Kalim, etc. What about the composite? How do we view the composite? So if you look in the Rush in Siman Aleph, when he deals with the Gemara on Daf, actually, let's look at it together. Okay, just open up your Rush to Siman Aleph. see where he references the Gemara on Daf Vav Amud Aleph, Hatzad Hashava Shebahem? So in that paragraph, beginning with Hatzad Hashava Shebahem, about six lines into that paragraph, everyone has a different print, but in my edition, it's in the left-hand column, about six lines down in the paragraph beginning Hatzad Hashava Shebahem, it says, V'yesh min ha-gedolim shekosvu, d'lo machayev ela mashachayev bishnehem. In other words, that if we have a composite mazik, you have to take into account both of the avos that created, and therefore, petire miniske kelim misasadam kamo bor umitamen kamo esh. You're going to have all of the kulos of both sides. And linear, the Rosh himself says, the kol din bor yesh lehem. Nothing doing. There's no such thing as a composite mazik. You can create a chiyuv based on two, but it has to come under one name. It can't be bor esh. It can't be shame shor. It has to be shor or bor or mava or heather. We have to decide, you know, under what name it falls. Again, in other words, that we're taking it out of the realm of logic and into the realm of formality. Logic can apply to a milveh. A milveh you owe because it's logical that you owe that which you borrowed. But in the world of nezikin, you're chayev because of gzeiras hakasuv. Here we're dealing with very, very strong formal categories. And so these formal categories are what are in the Mishnah. That is, in other words, what Tosis is pointing out. We have a concept of a shame shor, a shame adam, that the Mishnah is in that order, and those categories will sometimes bring us to a level of peturim, like that the Uman is pater because he's not a shame adam. He has a different shame. He's called the shame Uman. Or a shame shomer. He has a different shame. And only Adam is chayiv. Shomer is not in the world of Nezikin. It's a different parsha altogether. Uman's not in the world of Nezikin. It's a totally different parsha, has different criteria. So sometimes it's that which will bring us to kulos, and sometimes when we have a composite chiyuv, it's going to bring us to a chumrah, that we're going to say that even though this was created, this mazik was created with a compound, but it has to have a name. And the name has to be singular. Either shor, or bor, or mave, or hever. What's very, very interesting is, and this is also in that Kudus Eshurim, is that the same issue that we have, a parallel issue to what we have in the Mishnah, where we appear to have talking about A, but the phrase given is B, as we find in the Rambam as well. Look at the Rambam together with me in Hilchos Niskei Mammon, Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph Beis. The Rambam begins with the overall arching principle of Niskei Mammon, Kol Nefesh Chaya Shi Birshuso Shel Adam Shi Yiziku, Habaylim Chayavim L'Shalem, Shaharei Mammonam Hizik. This we ended with last time, that according to the Rambam, you're paying because it's your mammon. If it's your mammon, if it's your property, you have to pay for the damages your property does. What's the Rambam's proof text to this? Shenemar, Kiikov Shor Isis Shor Rehehu. And even though the Torah only speaks about Shor, Echad Shor, Echad Shor Behema Chayavov. Okay. Then the Rambam continues, Vekama Meshalem, Im Yizika B'Devarim Shedarko La'asosam Tamid Keminag Briyasa, what we call classically, regel. Then kagon behema sheachla tevin shein o amir o izika beragla shein and regel kaderech hilucha chayev l'shalem nezik shalem min hayafes shebin achasav meitav sadeh meito karmo v'yim shina v'asas ma'isim shein darken lasosam, what we call keren. Then we have the din of chatzin nezik, etc. What's strange in the Rambam? What proof text did the Rambam bring in halacha Aleph for the fact that you pay niske mamon. Kiigav shor ish et shorayehu. What is the rabbi quoting over here? He's quoting Keren, right? This Keren is quoting Keren. And what does he continue? Bekama mashalim. Well, if you're Shein or Regel, then you pay kach v'kach. That's strange. Shein and Regel are dealt with in Perek Gimel. Habehema mu'edes le'echol peiros ha'yirakos lefikach nichnasa v'chulei shenem arubir b'steyacher. We don't find the pasuk of Shein and Regel until Perek Gimel. And yet the Rambam in Perek Aleph quotes the pasuk of Keren and then brings you the dinim of Shein and Regel. Look at the Eben Ha'azel, Rav Yisrael Zalman Meltzer. Hinei divrei Rabbeinu him t'muim. Pasach b'halacha aleph b'din ki yigov, mayri b'keren, ech kosav al zeh, b'kama m'shalem, ubi erdin shel shein v'regel. Now, if you were Rav Gusman, what would you answer? That the Rambam is defining, right, that we have a concept of shem shor. You have the concept of shor. It's one of the arba of a nezikin, ha-shor, ha-bor, ha-mavah, ha-heaven. Once you have the shem shor, then you can have separate, in other words, circumstances that will come under one shem. To a certain degree, if you continue with Eben Ha'azel, he says something very, 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 very similar. Okay? But just pointing out that the question is not only a question in terms of our Mishnah, but if you wanted the structure, it's not only a question of the structure of the Mishnah, but also fits into the structure of the Braisa as well, and the Rambam of the Chula. Tov. Atkan in terms of the Seder. Let's go back to the Mishnah with your permission. Arba Avos Nezikin Hashor Habor Hamaveh VaHever. We have these four Shem Mazik. We have these four categories. What comes under each category may be a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, and the first time that the category is mentioned, that's where we have the order of the Mishnah according to Rashi and Tosfos. Lo hare hashor kari hamave, lo hare hamave kari hashor, velo zo vezo v'chule. What is this lo hare? What over here is the Mishnah doing according to the Havamina of the Gemara, and what is the Mishnah doing over here according to the Maskana of the Gemara? Right? The Gemara on Daf Heyamad Aleph asks, what is this lo hare? What's the hava mean of the Gemara? Had we not had the lo hare, yes?
Whether you need to write all of them, whether you can learn one out from the other.
Exactly. The hava mina is, why do we have arba avos nezikin? Why does the Torah mention these arba avos? Why does the Mishnah, the Torah Sheba Al Peh, repeat these arba avos? Because of lo hare. Because we could not have learned out one from the other. We couldn't learn out one from one. We couldn't learn out one from two. That's what the lo hare is explaining to us, why we have arba avos nezikin. That's in the hava mina. But then the Gemara says, but just a minute, we can really learn out from two all the rest. If we're going to take bor and add any other, we can get to all of them. So what then, according to the maskana of the Gemara, is this lo hare, that really we can learn them out all one from the other? And why then does the Torah mention them, all of them, if we can learn out one from the other? Lehilchoseyem. Because of the unique peturim, that's what the Gemara ends up on Daf Hei Amud Beis. So what then does the Lo Hare, how then does the Lo Hare fit in? What does Tosa say in the Maskana of the Gemara? The Hagdil Torah Lahadira. Namely, that it's not coming to tell us necessarily why we couldn't learn out one from the other, but simply to give us an overview of the nature of the Arbos Avos Nezikin, but without necessarily a halachic nafkamina. Right? That the Hilchoseyem are not linked into the Lo Hare, right? The Hilchoseyem, every one of these Avos Nezikin has a unique p'tur. Eish has a p'tur of Taman, and Bor has a p'tur on Kalim, and on Adam, etc. But that's not because of the Lo Hare, right? That, again, just look together with me in the Gemara, That's how the Gemara begins, Dapei Amar Aleph, Maika Amar. And the Gemara says, Hachika Amar, that Ikasa Rahman Achada, and we try to learn that the others, we can't learn Chada Lachada, and then we can't learn Chada from Tarte. That's fine until, but Ikala Mifrach, just a minute. You know, we can actually learn the, all of them out the moment you put in Bor and one of the others. So then, why were they written in the Torah? Lihil Chosehen. What do we do then with the Lo Harei of the Mishnah? So Tosus over there points out, Umas Nisim Lo Katani Elo Lahagdir Torah Via Adir. Similarly to Tosus by us, in the middle of Tosvos, Velo Zevazeh, points out that we have the concept of Lahagdir Torah U Le Haadir. Okay, that's just in the overview of the structure of the Mishnah. But, again, the working assumption of the Sugya is that if we could learn them out one from the other, we'd have to explain why they're in the Torah. Namely, that the working assumption of the Gemara is that there is a concept of learning one from the other. There is a concept of min hadin. There is a concept of using our logic to build categories that aren't written. There is a concept of building a kal vachomer or a b'meh hatzad, which is going to have halachic significance. So we'll say, well, of course, that's Yigil Midos Shetar and Nidreshes for that. But it's not so, of course, and that's what Tosus raises in the Ktsas Kosher. Let's look together after the Tana Herich Akdil Torah L'Hadira, the last four lines of Tosus V'lo Zevazeh, Uktsas Kosher, de Mashma, de Onshin Mamon Min Hadin, that it appears from our Mishnah that the working assumption of our Mishnah is that if we have a min hadin, if we have a kal vachomer, or we have a bameh hatzad, that we can bring about a halachic conclusion, and that on that which is learned out from the kal vachomer, we're going to have tashlumin, onshin mamon min hadin. However, that is not pashut at all, that onshin min hadin. We have, how can our Mishnah be working off of an assumption that onshin mamon min hadin? We have a braisa that says that ain onshin mamon hadin. So this answers, well, in Achinam we may have such a mechilta, but such a medrash halacha, but miu the perek par we have a bavli. Darish Lei that learns the Kiyifta Chiyicher Ledrosh Achrina, Al Iskei Psicha V'Kriya Ba'alo, that you're Chayav for the, in other words, that the for the creation of the boar, even though this is really not your mamon, but if you create a boar, which is Rabbi, you're going to be Chayav, Olahavi Korah Achar Korah, and so we need this pasuk for that, and really, Onshin Mamon Nenadi. Namely, we have a question over here whether onshin mamon min hadin or ain onshin mamon min hadin. That's, you know, is that what the Tosus assumed? That our Mishnah assumes onshin mamon min hadin. He was bothered, we have a mechilta that says ain onshin mamon min hadin. So he answers, in Achanami, it's machokas between the mechilta and the bavli, and our Mishnah is like the bavli, not like the mechilta. What's going on over here? What's this issue, what, in other words, of onshin min hadin or onshin min hadin, and how does it apply specifically to mamon? So if you look at the what's the makor in the Gemara for the concept of ein onshin min hadin, that you can't build an onesh off of a kal vachomer? In other words, we're dealing in our Tosfos with, what about the world of tashlumin? Can you build tashlumi mamon built on a kal vachomer? What about, in other words, not mamon, simply onshin min hadin? Can you get malkos min hadin? Can you get misa min hadin? Can we build the chi of misa in the Torah based on a kal vachomer? No, your chi is? Yafe ma'od. In other words, we have a gemara in makos. So I simply quoted to you the gemara in makos, the second makor on the second side, that the Mishnah over there in Makos on the Heyam Advei says that when are Edom Zomimim punished? Kasher Zomam velo Kasher Asa. That Horgu, that you all have a copy of the source sheet. That we have a din in the Mishnah that Hargu, if the Eidos Omim succeeded in bringing a death penalty upon their victims, then we don't say Kasher Zavon. Then there's no Ein Neharagim. So over there in the Gemara, Tana, Beribi Omer, Lo Hargu Neharagim, Hargu Ein Neharagim. In other words, I'm sorry, Beribi Omer, Lo Hargu Neharagim. The din of Kasher Zavon applies if they haven't yet killed. However, Hargu, if Beis Din already killed based on their Eidus, Ein Neharagim. Amar Aviv, the father of Beribi, pointed out, B'ni, Lav Kal V'chomer Hu. In other words, if you're going to punish Eidus Omim, if they haven't yet fulfilled their Zmama, Lachora Kal V'chomer, we should punish them if they fulfilled their Zmama. Amar Lo, Limadatanu Rabbeinu, Ein Onshin Min Hadin. You can't give punishments based on a kal v'chomer. The Tanya, ish asher yikaches achos obas aviv obas imo. When the Torah speaks about the world of arayos, it speaks about a sister from the father or a sister from the mother. Ein li ela bas aviv shelo bas imo ubas imo shelo bas aviv. We're dealing with half sisters. Bas aviv ubas imo menayim. What if we're dealing with a full sister? How do we know that a full sister is arayos? The Torah only says that half-sisters are arayos. So the Braisa says, Tamad lomar ervas achoso gila, that we have the pasuk continues and has an extra few words. From that we learn out that even a full sister, ad shelo yomar yeshli bedin, im anash al bas aviv shelo bas imo, bas imo shelo bas aviv, bas aviv imo lo kol shekein, so from this braisa, it's clear that we can't build a kal v'chomer. There's no better kal v'chomer than if you're punished on half sister from the father alone and half sister from the mother alone. So kal v'chomer that if she's your full sister from your father and your mother, that's incest kal v'chomer. But we see that the Torah says no, you can't learn out from a kal v'chomer. Ein onshin min hadin. We need a specific pasuk. Okay. So our question in Tosus is, what about Mamon? Onshin, the world, to kill someone, we don't kill someone, min hadin. But what about that he should pay money, min hadin? Can we build a logical principle? Can we use the kal v'chomer to build a chiyuv Mamon? And if you ask, well, if not that, then where then do we use the kal v'chomer? We can use a kal v'chomer to make it iser. We could say, if it's incest with your sister, half-sister, and it's incest with your other half-sister, then kal v'chomer, it's incest, it's usur with your full-sister. But to be mechayev, a punishment, ein onshin min hadin. Our question is, well, what about to be mechayev tashlum? So Tosa says, machlokas tanoim, machlokas the mechilta and the bavli. The question is, what over here are the two sides? What are the two sides? Why would everyone agree that ein onshin min hadin? We're not going to give misa min hadin. But when we move over to the world of mamonos, here we have two sides. So we have a number of shitos as to why ein onshin min hadin. And we'll have to see whether that will help us understand why in mamonos perhaps would be different. So I sent you both to a prima gadim, which is found in three different svarim in the Prima Gadim, in his Ginas Vradim, in his Ginas Shoshanim, and in his Psicha Koveles, and to a Maharsha, and to a Kesef Mishnah, right? Okay. Do you have a chance to see them? Did you get, what?
I did.
Did everyone see it? Yes? Wonderful. Okay. Okay, so the Yeridus Hadoros, when I was in the Rav Shir, and at that time Rav Shechter was marking the Bechinos, so he gave a chabura to those of us who were interested in the psicha kolos of the Prima Gadim, you know, with his bekiyus. It was awesome. And that was before they printed all the books that had all the marmakamos. We just went through in the classic edition of the Shulchan Aruch in the back, the psicha kolos of the Prima Gadim. So the Prima Gadim has this psicha kolos where he says, I want to talk about mitzvos aseh and mitzvos lo aseh, and I have 43 things to say. And he goes through them one by one, and it has various digressions within them. And so one of the digressions is when he's talking about mitzvahs asei and mitzvahs los asei, he begins to speak about the world of yugimel nidos, and he distinguishes between the gzera shava and everything else. That gzera shava, that's like it's written black and white, and you're going to get misa based on gzera shava, etc. That's the power of gzera shava. What about the other yud-based midos? So that's the issue, whether onshin min hadin or ain onshin min hadin. So he writes, have yodea, the midas hakal vachomer ain onshin mimeu, l'chora im avar isur hanilmad b'kal vachomer, v'yesh bo chiv misa, hine safek l'ta'am shekasavti beginas v'radim. The reason that we say ain onshin min hadin is because we're never, never, never certain that our logic is foolproof. We're never certain that there's not a crack somewhere in our logic. Shema yesh eza pircha. Maybe, you know, it's like, you know, you have sometimes these mathematicians that have formula, and then after 500 years they say, no, that equation that's been working for me, it doesn't work. It's not totally logical. Yesh eza pircha. So anything which is built on halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, gzeres shava, which we need a masoret, that's foolproof, and on that we'll give misa. But anything that we're going to build on our own, midesfeka lo nafka, and therefore there's never going to be a chi of misa, and therefore, says the Prima Gaudium Lishita, so there's never going to be onshin mama min hadin, because the moment that something is not foolproof. So, Amos bin Chavel of Haraya, right? In other words, Yefshar Lahutzi Mama Mimenu, in the moment that we have a suffix. So that's one direction. Okay? So one way of understanding is I have a suffix, and then Lachor, there's no distinction between an Onesh Guf and an Onesh Mama. In other words, we're going to view it always as a suffix. Yeah?
Why is it different, let's say, than the fact that we do things based on 2-8? So that, at the end of the day, we don't know that it's just the Torah says it's the custom.
Yeah.
So in other words, the Torah also says there's the only this, that you should trust the Kal Vachomer, even though, why is it different?
No, the Torah says you can trust the Kal Vachomer to say not to do something, but you can't trust the Kal Vachomer to take money from someone or to take a life from someone. You can trust it to a degree. You can trust it to say that if this is usher and this is usher, so Kal Vachomer, that's usher. That you can do. But you can't say, because you pay here and you pay there, therefore you should pay in a third case. You can say it's usur, but you can't say that, in other words, that's the ain onshin min hadin. Because there's always a suffix that's built into that which is human. I'm not saying that everyone agrees that says this. This is the Prima Gaudium. This is his shita. He created it, right? Okay. This is his spara.
I think the Prima Gaudium would agree that if you had, sometimes we have. You know, the Kalachomers that seem a little bit stronger than others, that the Tanan will say about them that there's no such thing as a pirch against this Kalachomer. I think we would agree that if there was such a thing, then in Achami we would be able to have onshin in this case. But in a normal Kalachomer, we just don't know that we're correct. We think we're correct, we're going to operate as if we're correct, we don't know for sure. Yeah. That's the issue.
Yeah, but what both Eli and Benay are pointing out is that when the Torah says, Acharei Mulahatos, in other words, or Al Bishnaim Eidim Yakum Davar, what it's telling you is that this is a Vados. In other words, that Al Bishnaim Eidim will kill, Al Pi a Rove of Bezdin will kill, that this is more strong than a Kal Vachomer. Even if it's a, you know, even if you have Chveis in a Bezdin of Nefasha, so you have 23 Dayanim, if you have 13 against 10, we kill. That's considered to be a vados. That's considered to be a vados. It's very frightening. You know, where it goes over a Kal Vachomer. But that's Elokim Nitzav by that hill. Okay. But the Maharsha has a very different view. Let's look together at the Maharsha, where we have a strange Gemara. Mizaracha velo kol zaracha. That if you are a Oved HaMolech, and you give one of your children over to the Molech, you are Chayav Misa. If you give all your children over to the Molech, you are not Chayav Misa. Kosav Asmag Lavim. Paskin is this way. V'yesh bazet ta'am l'tshuvas hamin. Now, l'chora, this is one of those Gemaras that's going to be asked of you by someone who no longer believes in Gemara and says, this is absurd. In other words, if you're a single murderer, you're chayav misa. If you're a mass murderer, you're pater from misa. How can that possibly be? How can that be? So we'll say, well, ain onshin min adin. What does it mean, ain onshin min adin? I mean, isn't this obvious? So he points out, neshem misas bezd in miskaprim hamumasim. V'ze asa kol kach aveira gedola, ain HaKadosh Baruch Hu rotza shiyehe lo kapara. V'mizeh atam ani omer v'chulei, ad kam l'shono ayen sham. That within the smag, he gives the reasoning that the Maharsha is quoting, that we view misa, we view an onesh as being a kapara, and if an onesh is a kapara, who says that a mass murderer is shayach to this kapara? In other words, we have a chiddush that if you murder and you do tshuva, you have a kapara via misas bezdin. But a mass murderer could be beyond that. Just to give you another example of this principle. What?
Taras.
In what way?
That if your whole body is covered in taras, you're not tamei.
That's very interesting. Usually, in other words, that could be one way of understanding it. Very fine. Fine. Okay. In other words, normally it's interpreted that it's no longer a nega when it covers your entire body. In other words, that the whole issue of taras is that which is hidden. And that way, when it all comes out, it's no longer taras. But that, you know, that even within the world of onshim, we have a pasuk in Shmos, in Mishpatim, in the world of Rotzeach, that if a person kills, ki yavo al re'ehu ba'arma, that the murderer, b'mezid, is ba'al re'ehu, chazamar doresh re'ehu lohotzi acherim, that the death penalty applies when you kill a Jew. If you kill a goy, there's no chiyuv misas bezdin. Okay? So the Meshach Chachma, I just skipped the Kesem Mishnah a minute, says, Yitachem. Why should that be? Mishum di Yisrael Shaharag ben Noach, that when you kill a goy, Ika milvad cheta ritzicha od avon dechilul Hashem. And therefore, yitachen, that the misa is not enough. Namely, in other words, that misa is a kapara. But if you were over a double avera, not only of being a murderer, but also of a transgressor Hashem, who says that you deserve the kapara of misas bezdin? Namely, it's not that you're not killed because killing a goy is more lenient than killing another Jew. Killing a goy is more chamor than killing a Jew, and therefore, who says that the punishment of misas bezdin with that kapara is shayach to you? Mamash, what the smag says in terms of ma'aver b'molech is what the Meshach Chachma says. He doesn't quote the smag. He says in terms of rotzeach of a goy. Nimtza din onesh misa achilu Hashem ech yuchuper lo yedei misa cheta retzicha. Al korchach dino maser l'shamayim. Okay. So if we take the approach of the Maharsha, what do you say about onshin mamon?
It's not a
kapara. So here we move over into the question: how do we view tashlume mamon? Right? How do we view tashlume mamon? So again, if it's an issue of safek, so lechora, just as we have a principle that safek nefashos lahakel, we have a principle of safek mamonos. If it's redin and kapara, so here we have the Kesef Mishnah. Let's look together at the Kesef Mishnah. The Kesef Mishnah is working off of the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Eidus deals with Eidim Zomamim. And the Rambam dealing with Eidim Zomamim distinguished, and he brings in the din of Hargu Ein Neheragim. Right? That if the Eidim Zomamim fulfilled their desire to frame these people, and Bezdin acted upon their edus, then already ain neherogim. What if the Edim Zomamim were mechayiv someone malkos or mamon? So the Rambam over there in Hilchos Edus in Perek Chaf Halacha Beis says neherag ze shehidu alav achar kachuzmu ain neherogim min hadin. Right, that based on a kal v'chomer we don't say neherogim. Shenemar kasher zamam la'asos v'adayim lo osa. V'davar zeh mipi ha-kabbalah. This is our tradition that ain onshin min hadin. Ain onshin min hadin. Aval im laka zeh shehi idu alav, lokin. V'chein im yatsa mamon miyad zeh lezeh be'idusan, chozer leba'alav u'mishalmin lo. That the principle of hargu ein neheragim does not apply to either malkos or to mamon. The Ravid says on this Rambam, shibush huzeh. But the question is, to what degree is there a shibush and is there an answer in the Rambam? This is what the Kesef Mishnah is trying to explain. Tzarech levakesh ta'am minayin lo l'rabbeinu l'chayt ben misa l'mamon u'malkos. L'cha'ora mashma d'loshna mamon u'malkos o misa v'kuhu v'inan kasher zamam v'lo kasher asa. V'afki efshar l'chayt ben mamon l'misa the mamon efshar b'chazara. You could have said that that which is irretrievable, irreversible, there we have a gzeres hakasuv of kasher zama v'lo kasher asa. But if it's reversible, right, like mamon, so why shouldn't they pay? But that will explain, and he says that's a shita of tosfos. But that won't explain malkos. That'll explain mamon, it won't explain malkos. Why would you draw a line between misa on one hand and malkos and mamon on the other hand? To draw a line between misa and malkos and mamon, that you could do. Misa and malkos are irreversible, mamon is reversible. But the Rambam draws the line beforehand. So he says that's what bothered the Ravid. But okay, it bothered the Ravid, but we have the Rambam. What do we do with the Rambam? The last three lines. The efshar lases tam l'divir rabbeinu de lo amrinan kasher zama v'lo kasher asa elahecha de hargu al pihem mishum de gadol onsham minaso ein roi lases lahem misas bezdin shetachaper aleyah. Take the smug. Work off of the smug. Work off of the smug who says that we have an issue of kapara. That if they already killed someone, then it's not shayach for them to have a kapara. Ein roi lases amisas bezdin shetachaper aleyah ela roi lahanicham shiv nidone machar misa ba'onshim no roim. Dugma ladavar no saying kol zara lamolach shupater ma she'en lomar kain v'hilku al pi edusa ma she'en. In other words, that if you're dealing with the world of kapara, so we can make a dividing line. We can say that you can still get kapara even if you cause someone malkos, but not necessarily if you cause someone if you cause someone misa. Namely, there's room to make a division. That's, in other words, so we have then the Kesef Mishnah and the Smag using the concept of Kapara, and the Primogonim using the concept of Safek. So now, we're dealing with Mamonos. We're dealing with the level of Mamonos. On the level of Mamonos, we could say whether Onshin Minad, Onshin Mamon Minadin or Ein Onshin Mamon Adin, if we paskin like the Maharsha, so then we would say Ein Onshin Mamon Minadin, because we have a Safek. If we paskin like the smag in the Kesef Mishnah, we would say that onshin min hadin. Why not? We only say ein onshin misa min hadin, but it would not apply to mamon. Or, you know, where it's their machlok, that could be one machlokes. Or we could distinguish, like the Kesef Mishnah himself does, between kapara and kapara. Everyone agrees to the smag. Everyone agrees that the issue is one of kapara. The question is, do we pass like the Raish, like the Ravid, or like the Rambam? According to the Ravid, if the issue is kapara, so why distinguish between kapara and kapara? Who says that we can, you know, go ahead and give a punishment above and beyond that which the Torah says? Because every punishment is also a kapara. Who says that this will serve as a kapara? So, you know, it could be that therefore ein onshin mamon minhadin. Or we could take the approach of the Rambam that we could distinguish between kapara and kapara. We can't ein onshin misa minhadin, but the moment that you get to malkos and mamon, maybe onshin minhadin. Or we can move over to our previous. Our previous question as to how do we view tashlumen? How do we view the tashlume mamon that we have that come from the world of Nezikin. We saw that had the Torah not written the parasha of Nezikin, there would not have been Tashlum. Muvas vayachol letko. We need a gzeres hakosuf. We need a gzeres hakosuf. We don't need a gzeres hakosuf for halva. We need a gzeres hakosuf for Nezikin. And we need a shame mazik. Now that we have that gzeres hakosuf, what's the nature of the gzeres hakosuf? What does the Rambam say? In Hilchos Niskei Mamon, in Perek Beis, Halacha Zayin, Kol ha-meshalem nezek shalem, harei ha-tashlumin mamon, shehu chayav l'shalmo, k'mi shelava mechavero, shehu chayav l'shalem. Had we not had a gzeres hakosuf, we would have thought that there is no din of tashlumin. Once we have a gzeres hakosuf, what does the gzeres hakosuf tell us? That paying nezikin is like halva'a. It's compensation. It's compensation. You're compensating the person for that which you took from him. Just like when you take money from a person on a loan, you have to compensate and pay him back. So also if you're mazikin, you have to pay him back. So l'chora, if the whole world of ein onshin min hadin is one of kapara, here there's no inyan of kapara. However, what is another option of understanding the payment in the world of nezikin? It not only is exer, what's exer sakosuv? The exer sakosuv is that it's like halva. What's exer sakosuv of korban? It's an onesh, which is a kapara, no? So maybe over here also we're saying that we're the milvak chasuv b'Torah is korbanos, erchin, nezikin, that we're dealing over here with an onesh. We're dealing over here with an onesh, and when you pay, you get a kapara, and then we say ein onshin min hadin. So we have all of these options, and in terms of the concept of ein onshin min hadin, we have the svara of Safek, and we have the svara of Ein Maspik Kapara. These are two svaras. In the world of Mamonos, we have a machlokes between the Mechilta and the Bavli, whether we say Ein Onshin Mamonos Min Hadin or Onshin Min Hadin. So one way of learning the machlokes is, are we using Safek or Kapara? That Safek would apply to Mamonos, Kapara wouldn't apply to Mamonos. Or everyone agrees it's Kapara, but the question is, to what Im Yesh Maspik, to what degree? Like we saw in the Rambam, the Chalek bein Kapara leKapara is an option. Or the third possibility is that everyone agrees that it's a din of kapara, and the question is whether in Mamonos it's tashlumin or onesh. How do we view the payment? Once we have this gzeres hakosuv, does the gzeres hakosuv remain a gzeres hakosuv? It's an onesh like korbanos and in the world of kapara, or it turns into a halva. The milva ksuva b'Torah turns into a milva, turns into a svara. So any of these could explain the machlokes between the Mechilta and the Bavli. Okay? Okay. Okay, just maybe one more point. And that is the Rashba. The Rashba on Daf Beis Amud Beis. The Rashba on Daf Beis Amud Beis, we already saw, he deals with the question of the Keren Tchusha. Namely, not the Keren that grows organically on the head of the animal, but the Keren that you paste on the head of the animal. And the question is, what? How do we view that? Is that we have Chatzi Nezek, Nezek Shalem, etc. So the Gemara over there wants to build a Kal V'Chomer. if on Mechuber you're chayev, kavachomer on the Talush. So the Gemara, so the Rashba asks, I kashelach, mashma, de ein onshin min hadin af benezikin. Just a minute. We have a mechilta. The mechilta says you can't build a kavachomer in the world of mamonos. Kerimuna mechilta. Tanya ki yiftach yishbor ki yikre ima posea chayev al korlo kol shekein. Lamedcha shein onshin min hadin. We need a pasuk. You can't build off of a svara. So we saw how the Tosfos answer the question, machlokes, between, that's the mechilta, correct, but we have a Bavli that's against it. And then the sugyas can choose back and forth. What's the Rashba's answer? The Rashba's answer is, mistabra li, to lo amru kein ela beniske bor, v'mnesha hu chidush, v'leka bekuhu nezikin de kavasa, l'fi shein darko leilachu lahazik, v'od sheino shalo, v'afilu hachi aso akosav kilu hu shalo, va'od hanizak bala reshusa shel mazik haynu chalav habor vein onshin midin kazeh ein l'chabo el achidusha aval shar nizikin shemamona holechu mazik onshin bo min hadin. That as to whether onshin min hadin or not, we'll take the world of arba avos nizikin and divide them on three avos nizikin, onshin min hadin, and on bor ein onshin min hadin. What's the svara over here of the Rashba? We had three possibilities of how to distinguish between, you know, how to understand the machlokas, whether onshin mamon min hadin or ein onshin mamon min hadin. The Rashba, who wants to distinguish between bor and the others, and you know, or it's, how would he understand?
Maybe it's suffix. Because here, the Xeris HaKasav removes from the Suffolk.
Why?
Because now we have a
He points out that out of the Arbavos Nezikin, three of them are easy to understand. Bor is a tremendous chiddush. It goes against all logic. It's not mamon. It's not his, not the individual's mamon. The nizak falls into it. It doesn't go to the nizak. It's stationary. V'chule. And b'chol zot yirchayev. So there we'll say, ain onshin min hadin. But in the other of us, Nezikin, will say, onshin min hadin. No. Obviously, no. We had a chakira. How do we view tashlumei nezek? Are tashlumei nezek compensation or onish? What would the Rashba say? We say, if they're compensation, we'll say, onshin min hadin. If it's onish, ain onshin min hadin. What would the Rashba say? Are tashlumei nezikin onshin or compensation?
Everything except for bor.
There are tashlumei nezikin that are compensation, and there are tashlumei nezikin that are onshin. Okay? Sure, and Eish, and Shein and Regel, and Adam are tashlumin. That's the Rambam. That asoam kamilve, masha'ein kein bor remains an onesh. That's the chiddush. It remains an onesh. It remains the milva ksuva b'torah. It remains that which is gzeras hakasuv. So when you're dealing with the onesh, the gzeras hakasuv, we're dealing with the world of kapara. Who says that we're going to allow a kapara in such a situation by paying money? Masha'ein kein, if the money being paid is not a kapara, the money being paid is compensation. So then the kal v'chomer will work. In other words, that this last possibility that everyone agrees the issue of ein onshin min hadin is one of kapara. Do we have enough kapara? But our question was, are tashlumei nezikin monetary or onshin? We saw in the Rambam, he views them as monetary. But theoretically, you could view them as being still the milva ksuva b'torah. Comes on the Rashba and says it depends. Those that are more logically sound, we'll call them tashlumin. They have turned into a milva. Masha'ein, those that remain a chiddush, like bor, there it remains a concept of onesh and kapara, and there ein onshin min hadin. Okay, we'll stop over here. We got through almost everything on the Makoro sheet. We just didn't see the end of the Mishnah that we'll start with next time, the Shemiras on Alecha. I'd like to learn the Gemara about Avos and Toldos. you can take the, in other words, those who have already seen the first four daf can just get up to Amar Rav Papa on daf Beis Amud Beis. Those who haven't yet seen the Gemara until at least daf Gimel Amud Beis should just read Gemara and Rashi until daf Gimel Amud Beis, until Tzroros, just to know what's going on over here. But we're going to next time deal more with the world of Avos and Toldos. We'll see. I'll give you a page by Makamas, but we have over here a Rif, you know, it's Adaf Aleph Amid Aleph, a Rosh, and Tosus over here, Rav Elazar, and Tosus something called Yarsinan, is also a Rashba, also a Ranin, a Ramban and Shabbos. Okay, I'll give you a page by Makamas, but in any case, that's what we'll move to next time. Okay.